Hello, I'm Nina Young. I'm the parenting and podcast editor for kidspot.com.au. I'm here to quickly tell you that we've released a new season of I Swear I Never. It's a podcast where we tell the stories of people who found themselves in situations they swear they never could have predicted. The new season is full of some incredible stories and plenty of incredible people. So search for I Swear I Never wherever you get your podcasts and listen to season two right now. And here is just a little taste of what you'll hear.
I thought I was ready for anything when it came to being a mum. I was ready for, you know, whatever life threw at me, but I never for a second thought that I would have a transgender child. And it wasn't that I had a problem with it, it was just that I wasn't prepared.
It was really scary, the idea of telling other people. I mean, I remember when I did tell you, I was crying and shaking so much that I couldn't actually say it. I ended up writing it down instead of actually speaking. I was very afraid because it had taken me so long to get to this point of understanding who I was, and the idea of someone that I really love and care about, like, rejecting that was really scary. And I didn't want to feel rejected. I wanted to feel like I was safe where I was, you know?
And how did I do? How was my response from your side?
You were really good, and I really appreciate everything you've done for me. I think it frustrated me that it took a little bit to come around to using name and pronouns and that sort of thing, but it frustrated me at first, but at the same time, I can understand it. And like, we're here now, so I'm pretty happy.
The first time that I noticed OCD traits was probably in primary school, third year of primary school. So I was probably about 7 years old. So it started with things like counting. So for example, when I was brushing my teeth, I had to turn the tap on and off a certain number of times to make myself feel better. It's very draining, not just physically but emotionally, because although it doesn't make sense rationally, you almost feel like you're responsible for somebody else's well-being, and that is just really exhausting. It's almost like when you don't realize that you're breathing in toxic air until you open the window and you suddenly go, oh goodness, like, it's such a big change, you know.
I remember the earphone. And I remember being greeted by two police officers and instantly thinking, this is so odd. Why on earth are policemen knocking on our front door, essentially? I had to walk down my three flights of stairs to let these officers in. As I rounded that last set of stairs and I saw those two policemen on the outside of my door, I absolutely knew at that moment that something was drastically wrong. Two policemen do not come to your doorstep unless they're about to deliver this horrible news. They just sat us down and they said, there's been an accident on the M1 and we believe your son, Jordan Hayes McGuinness, has been fatally injured or something. So I just remember that overwhelming, just immediate sick feeling of going, this can't be happening. Not to my son, to my baby. What are you talking about? Officially, it wasn't till about 7 or 8 weeks down the track when we received the autopsy. So that's when we knew for sure that he had alcohol in his system, and that's when we found out for the first time that he had some marijuana in his system.
And he had collided with a stationary vehicle with the poor victims inside it.
When I was discharged from the hospital, the doctor prescribed me tramadol, and that's very common for post C-sections. You go home with a script. And I went home and I took it, and I remember really liking it, thinking, this drug's great. Like, I can't feel my wound. And I feel kind of more confident, like, in some ways as a mother, and I could deal with visitors popping in and I could do the housework, and I really liked it. And I remember taking the last pill feeling really sad that it was the end of the script. I remember thinking, this is medicine, but at the same time I remember thinking how I understood how heroin addicts get addicted, because the drug really made me feel so much better.
We never really spoke about our feelings. We talk about the job, that, you know, if something big had happened during the day, you know, as I said, we'd have a couple of beers and have a chat about it without really expressing how you were feeling, whether you were troubled. It was something you pretty well kept guarded and close to yourself. But you saw some of the worst things you could imagine. Pool drownings, industrial accidents where people would be caught in machines and you see the aftermath, train fatalities, these sorts of things I'd seen in my career, now I'm seeing on a daily basis, reading these briefs and getting the photos from the scientific section. You were dealing with scenes of death and destruction basically on a daily basis, and then having to deal with the family members as a result. Yeah, it was pretty much non-stop. You're drained. Sometimes you have a really bad night where you hardly sleep. You have the worst nightmares and you wake up in the morning and you're just physically and emotionally drained.
I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of the new season of I Swear I Never. If you want to hear season 1 and season 2, search for I Swear I Never wherever you get your podcasts, and I will see you there.